2 Kings 4, we'll begin at verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and said, He said to her, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Father, we just desire your spirit to move now and ignite the word, Lord, that we would learn from it and grow from it, that we would have, Lord, insight and be different as we leave this place than we were when we came. Lord, more in tune with your word and more in touch with your son. May we find, Lord, your word to be true and faithful. May we not, Lord, ignore it or set it aside, but actually take it in and do it today. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of the woman that we're looking at today is an important one, because there's an issue in everybody's life that everyone really is dealing with. And that is, we are feeling the lack of something. We all tend to have something missing. And, you know, some of us may have more missing than others. But we're all missing something. We've all got a lack within us. It's a void, if you would. One of the old commentators put it this way. There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man. And really, that's what it amounts to. I know that there's many times that we feel lonely or empty, and we think it's because perhaps there's, you know, someone in our life that needs to be closer, or perhaps there's a fulfillment of some kind of career or purpose in our life that we feel is lacking, therefore we feel that emptiness, but it's not so. The emptiness, the loneliness, the void inside of us is for one reason, really, and that is so God can fill it. It's there for you to know and to experience so that it can be taken care of by the one who can fill it, who can take care of it. But here's the dilemma. Many times people are desperately trying to fill that hole with something else, someone else, or perhaps just, you know, trying to put something in themselves in that hole, and they find themselves coming up short there as well. There's nothing that's going to work in that place but God. He is the only one that will be able to really fill up your heart so that you don't have that emptiness inside. And you can always tell when you have kind of created some distance between you and the Lord, can't you? Because you start to sense that emptiness and that void. And that's protection for you, folks. It's protection for me. That if I sense that, I know, I've got to get near the Lord, because I'm feeling that sense within me, that loneliness, that emptiness, that hole is getting bigger. Now, the lesson that God is going to reveal to us today, I believe, is that he keeps himself poured out into any vessel, as long as we bring our vessel that he can pour into. But when we stop bringing him vessels to pour into, then he quits pouring. It's a simple lesson, you might say. But there's three things I want you to note today. Because in your vessel, in your life, in my vessel, in my life, that hole, that empty spot, that thing that you can't always put your finger on, but it's always a very obvious thing when you experience it. There's three elements to these things that we have here. We're called earthen vessels in the scriptures. That's who we are. This woman, there's a couple of things here that she will experience as she does what this man of God declares to her from the Word of God. And you will experience, by the way, the same things if you will do what the Word of God says. It's really simple. But there's three things. There's three types of vessels, if you would, that will experience the filling up of this particular reality. Now, what reality are we talking about? Well, what does the woman have in her house? Oil. Now, it's interesting that she says, I don't have anything when she's asked by Elisha, what do you have? She says, I don't have anything. Oh, except for some oil. Now, what is oil? It's the Holy Spirit, right? Picturesque, symbolic, if you would, of the Spirit of God. That which you have in you, by the way, in your house, in your dwelling. The Spirit has moved in and has set up shop, if you would, in your home, in your house, in your life, in your heart. You have the Spirit within you. Isn't it interesting how she kind of discounts that fact? I don't have anything. Well, except some oil. Now, the literal rendering of this particular verse, the oil, is anointing oil. Her husband was a son of the prophets, correct? So he had some anointing oil in the house, used for anointing, you see. Blessing people, pouring upon the head of those. You see, he was a son of a prophet in training, learning how to minister to people. So there's this anointing oil in her house, but she says, I really don't have anything except this, as if this isn't enough. But what she's going to find out, and what you will find out today perhaps, is that you have the oil or the anointing or the Spirit, and by the way, it is absolutely enough. It's enough for you. Well, to do what? To do whatever God tells you to do. Whatever it is. Well, wait a minute now. I'm not sure about that. I think I need a little bit more of something before I do what God tells me to do. Oh, really? That's a convenient thing. It'll be convenient for the rest of your life, by the way. I don't have quite enough oomph for whatever it takes, you know, to do that. I know that guy changed. I know that person's life is different, but I just don't quite have enough of whatever that is to do that. Nah, not true. The woman said, hey, I don't have anything really except for this oil. But she had enough to pour out, didn't she? Now watch. Three types of vessels. First of all, number one, if you're taking notes, you need to be a vessel that desires. Vessels, people, lives, these earthen vessels, we need to have desire. Well, I've got desires, people say. I've got lots of desires. But most of them are wrong. You understand? You need to have the right kind of desire. The desire for the filling of the Holy Spirit, you see. The desire that God can give you that filling of that hole in your life. We're talking about, remember, the void, the emptiness. She's got a need here. By the way, her husband left her in this position of debt, really, because there's a creditor involved, isn't there? He comes and he wants to take her sons away to be bondmen. Now, he had a right to do that according to Levitical law. If a husband left a debt, then the creditor could come and take the sons and make them work off the debt. But she is panicked because she doesn't want that to happen. You see, the emptiness she's feeling is going to be not only the loss of her husband, but she's going to lose her two sons. So she's going to have an emptiness that she thinks could never be filled by anything other than having her husband back or her sons stay, but she's going to learn something about God's provision in this story. Now, you need to have a vessel. You need to be a vessel that desires. Because God can give you many things, folks. We can get a lot of things from God, but he cannot give you his best blessing, that is himself, unless you desire him. In other words, our desires so often are tainted or polluted, really, with the things we want to do or the plans we have, and then we ask God to fulfill those things. Instead of really just asking God to give us more of himself, do we really desire him, or do we just desire what he can give us? Think about it. Well, I'll spend some time with God as long as he gives me this. But do you just want to spend time with him? Do you really want him, or do you want what he can give? Well, both. I want both. See, that's the honest answer. Well, I do want him, but I really, what I'm after, why I spend time with God is so that I can get what he can give me. Oftentimes. Now, this woman has a desire, and it shows why. How? Because in verse 1, she cries out. She cries out. Who does she cry out to? To the man of God, Elisha, who is the representative of the word of God. She's crying out, seeking out the man of God who gives the word of God. That's how you know she's got a desire here. And God will give that if there's desire to be had by us. Have him in my life. I desire that. Then he will pour out. But he cannot give me what I do not desire. He will not force me to have him in a greater degree. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because he can't make you wise if you don't want instruction, can he? He's not just going to make you smart, like, boom, there, now you've got all the intellect and wisdom you ever need, right? Remember when Solomon asked for wisdom? God began to instruct him. He gave him that wisdom through what? Instruction. If you don't want to be wise because you don't want instruction, then God's not going to give it to you. He will not do that. If you don't want to be holy, God won't force you to be holy. If you desire perversity over holiness, then he's not going to make you holy. You understand? You see how it works. I don't desire holiness. Well, then don't worry about it. You won't be. And there's a lot of, listen carefully, there's a lot of people who do not desire holiness. They desire exactly what they've got. Perversity. Well, I'm done with this conversation, you say. I don't even want to go there, you see. You're not telling me that I have exactly what I want. Oh, yes, I am. You've got what you want. Whoa, wait a minute. This is too much. I know me. No, you don't. Jeremiah says you don't even know your own heart because it's so wicked. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to go off on the wickedness thing, so don't keep those long faces. But here's the deal. We have what we have of God because that's what we want of him. And he will not make me have more of him than I desire. He cannot save a man from his sin if a man wants to hang on to those sins. He just can't do it. He won't do it. He refuses to do so. And he cannot pour out oil into my life unless I want it, unless I desire it. You've got to have desire, folks, for this. The spirit, the oil that's represented here, if you really want that, if you really, really want it, then God will give it. And he'll give it, as we're going to see here in this story, without measure. Because unlike the vessels in this story that have limitations to how much they can take in, you see, because they're only so big. We, on the other hand, have vessels that are kind of elastic. You know, I'm painfully aware of that fact. These vessels stretch. You know, they're able to take in a lot, you know, and the more they take in, the bigger they get. Now, apply that spiritually now. Don't just say, oh, brother, you know, this guy goes on the diet thing again. Now, here's the deal. They our lives spiritually are elastic. They will stretch out. They will grow in the capacity that they can take in. How? By taking in more. If I want more, I can take in more. And God will always fill and give what it is I'm desiring in this way. You see, we bring vessels that are really those empty holes in our heart and our life, and we say, fill us up, Lord. And he will. He does that. Well, isn't God always giving anyway? Yeah. But he's not able to give you any more than you will receive. Do you understand this? He doesn't force feed us. He doesn't grab, you know, a little funnel and stick it in your mouth and then say, here, have some oil, you know, like you do in your car. If you don't have the capacity to receive it, then he will not pour it in anymore. Just like the vessels in these particular vessels in this story, when they were full, what? That's it. No more. They can't take any more. Well, if I'm full then, doesn't that mean that I'm done? No. In fact, you may take this much of his oil to fill up. If that's the case, that may be a shame. Why? Well, because maybe there's no room. Maybe there's only room for this much oil. Because there's too much other stuff that's filling up my life, you see. And here's the thing. My capacity to receive is determined by this reality, how much capacity I have. You see, if you measure, folks, if you measure the real intensity of your desire for God, you will get the equation figured out as to how much capacity you really have in your life. Take the desire and really note the desire. You will really note the capacity of what you can take in of him. It's directly related. I desire a lot of him. I have a lot. I desire a little. I have a little. And I know this is kind of tough, but you know, you desire what you have, or you wouldn't have it. Now think about this. If you were told today, anything you have that you really don't desire, you can do without it right now, what would happen? Would you do without it? Because people say, I just wish I was more near the Lord. Well, then be more near him. Uh-huh. What? Well, it's not that simple. Oh, yeah, it's that simple. In fact, God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, right? You get close to me, I'll get close to you. The closer you get to me, the closer I get to you. But you see, we're so used to this idea that I can't. I can't do that. There's something in the way. Oh, there is, all right. There's things in the way, that's for sure. I don't doubt that. But don't tell me, don't cry to me and say, I wish I could be closer to the Lord, when you could be. Don't tell me you can't be. Tell me you don't want to be. I believe that. Well, it doesn't sound as good. Of course not. Nobody wants to say, well, I really don't want that much of the Lord. However, that is the more honest statement, isn't it? I have exactly what I want. Ooh, that's not pretty. And listen, folks, if you really want more of the Lord, you'll turn away from stuff that takes you far from him, right? I mean, isn't that the idea, the pursuits that really lead me away from him? You see, desire him and you'll have him. Want him and he's had by you, had by me. So, first thing you have to have is desire. Your vessel needs to want God. It has to want God in order to have him. If I want the fullness of the Spirit in my life, then I have to want that more than anything else in my life. And oftentimes, we are not really wanting that, although it sounds good. That sounds like a good thing to do, Pastor Matt. Be filled with the Spirit. It is. The problem is that many just don't want it that bad. Now, secondly, number two, not only is there to be vessels that desire, but also vessels that expect. There needs to be an expectation of the fact that that filling can take place. That hole in your heart, that void in your life, you have to not only desire to have that filled by the Lord, but also to expect for him to do it. Note that she expected something to happen. How do you know? Well, look at verse 4. She went and got vessels, right? She went and got those vessels because she expected something to happen to them, or else she wouldn't have went and got them. Do you follow me? In other words, there was an expectation that he's telling me something that's true. I know that. I believe that. And if I do, and I want it, there's desire, then what? Then I should go get those vessels because I'm expecting something to happen to them. I'm expecting something to take place in my life. Desire is one thing, but expecting it to happen is another, isn't it? A lot of people want, you know, things. They want something. They have their eye on something or they have their heart set on something. And to desire something is one thing. To expect it to really happen is another. And this goes spiritually as well, not just out there in the physical material world. If you're really expecting something spiritually, it comes from the desire you have for it and expecting it to happen. You've got to have expectation because expectation, just like desire, opens up your heart to receive. If you don't expect, then you won't have. And Jesus put it this way, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. What is faith? Well, faith is that absolute expectancy of coming good. It is the evidence of things not seen but hoped for, and not in the sense of, boy, I hope I get that, but I know I'm going to. Hope is not this thing that you're guessing or hoping will happen. Oh boy, I hope that takes place. It's an absolute knowing that it's going to be, and you know you believe it because you act upon it. That's faith. Jesus said, according to that, may it be done unto you. In other words, when we're asking for something, especially in this context, and don't forget, I'm not talking about asking for some frivolous thing. People make this mistake often. The context of this story is oil, not a new car. This is oil. This is the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. You want more of him than you should desire, of course, to have it and expect that the Lord will do it. This is the expectation that God wants us to have. And many times I don't think I'm going to get what I ask for because I know good and well it's not good for me. Right? How often do you ask the Lord for something and you know there's no expectation of you getting it? Why? Because you just search your heart for a minute, you'll go, like he's going to give me that. Right? You don't expect it. You desire it, but there's no expectation to get it. Why? Because you know it's not right. Why would God give me that? He wouldn't. Okay. I desire, but I don't expect. With this with this reality, with this truth, the Holy Spirit being the issue that you should be desiring, you can expect, listen, with full confidence that this is the will of God for you, that you be filled up to capacity and beyond, Jesus said, to overflowing. Torrents of living water gushing from your life, overflowing, spilling out all over the place. It's His will for you, so you can not only desire it, you can expect it to happen. And God can give the exceedingly abundant, more than we could ask or even think, the Ephesians 20 verse, you know. He can do that. But listen, right now, if that's what you're desiring, what you desire and expect is what you get. Now, this is tough because it kind of puts us in a different place in our thinking oftentimes that we don't like, because we like to think of ourselves in a different light because it makes it easy for us not to have the fullness of the Spirit. Well, why would I want that? Why wouldn't I want the fullness of the Spirit? Because the Spirit, listen, the fullness of the Spirit kills the flesh. Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, that will mortify, kill, put to death the flesh in me. And I'll tell you, this is the dilemma. People love the flesh. Well, even Christians, Pastor Matt, you tell me. We're in love with the flesh. If we were in love with having the Spirit and having God in my life as much as I love the flesh, oh man, you know, we'd be spiritual giants, not spiritual midgets. We would be huge in faith, not wimpy in faith. We would be walking in the Spirit, dealing with those things in life with power and might, not cowering and hiding and falling back and crawling under rocks. And we would be empowered, folks, if we loved the Spirit as much as we love the flesh. That's a tough word, isn't it? It's tough stuff. That is the reality, though, because people say, I'm just so stuck on the flesh. Well, it's because you love it. Well, no, I hate it, really, Pastor Man. I hate the flesh. No, you don't. You love the flesh. You love it. That's why you embrace it constantly. Now, granted, Paul says in Romans 7, there's a war going on between the Spirit and the flesh. And this is the point of this particular issue. Do you want the spiritual man who does not want to sin, who does not have any interest in sinning or the flesh, do you want him to be empowered, or do you want the old man to be empowered? Because Paul says you've got to starve the old man and feed the new man. The new man needs oil. He needs oil to keep them parts working. Just like anything else. We need oil, man. We need that oil to lubricate our lives, to get us moving, to get us functioning in the spiritual things. We need the oil. We need the Spirit more and more and more. And that will deny the flesh more and more and more. And he, the old man, the old flesh, will get weak. But if you do not desire that and you don't expect it, it won't happen. It's not going to happen. So, desire and expect. Thirdly, we need to be vessels that obey. Desire it? Absolutely. Expect it. Only expect it only if you're a vessel that obeys. Now, this woman obeyed. How do you know? Well, look, it says that she what? Poured out. She cried out, desiring to be filled. Then she expected by going and getting the vessels, and then she obeyed by what? Pouring out the oil. Pouring it out. Pour it out. Now, here's the thing. Again, you and me, you have the Spirit of God in you. To what measure? Don't know. I don't know where you're at with this. You have the Spirit if you're born again. That's the main thing. And like this woman, you might say, well, I don't have anything really to offer. I have the Spirit of God. But I mean, well, you know, hey, you've got the Spirit of God, then you can, listen, you can obey in the same way this woman is. How? You can pour out what you have. Meaning, you can obey what God's telling you to do. You're empowered enough by the Spirit of God within you to do exactly what he's telling you to do. Elijah said, look, you've got some oil, pour it out. She said, okay, well, I don't know, you know, good that's going to do. I'm just pouring oil into another vessel. Yeah. Yeah, you're pouring oil into another vessel. And then another. And then another. And then another. And there was enough oil. Listen, she kept miraculously pouring oil until all the pots around her were filled. And she said, well, bring another one. And her son said, well, there isn't any more. And the oil stopped at that point. In other words, there's enough oil to do much more than this woman ever thought possible. Already, listen, already in her. And as she poured out, the Lord poured in. As she poured out, the Lord poured in. Again and again and again and again. And pretty soon, there was all these vessels around her filled up, you see. She obeyed. The desire and the expectation, they're great. But if they are not backed up by obedience, forget it. They alone don't bring the oil. They don't bring the gift. They're important, but they're only the beginning. Obedience is the fulfillment, you see, of those things. And the vessels they brought to be filled, hey, they were empty vessels. Note that. They were empty. They weren't vessels with something else in them. And your vessel, my vessel, when I come to be filled by the Lord, is there enough room in me to do that? Do I come full of something else? Or do I empty myself before I ask to be filled? Now, this is tough. What do you want in this vessel? Do you want oil or do you want something else? Because if I want him to fill me, I should be willing to be emptied first. We sing that song, don't we? Holy fire, you know. It's what John the Baptist said. I must decrease and he must increase. I've got to empty myself so that he can fill me up with himself, with his Spirit. And there's a dilemma with that. Those empty vessels that were being brought, they were filled strictly with oil. Simply with oil, nothing else, you see. And we can't come to be filled if we have been filled up with other stuff, folks. It won't work. There's no room for the oil, which makes our desire, if it's there, and our even our expectation, if it's there, impossible to be fulfilled. You can't fulfill what your desire and even your expectation is if this is the case. But if we really want him, why is that a problem to be emptied? If we really, really want the Lord, why is that such a problem? It's not. If we really want him. And this is like a big circle, you know. Oh, we're back to that again. We're back to desire and wanting. Yes, they all work together in tandem to bring about the reality of this issue. And this can happen in 2 seconds, or it can take 10 years, or it can take 20 years, or a lifetime before somebody actually gets this. It's a daily thing for me. I don't just do this once. You know, people say, well, I tried that once. Well, you tried it once? You know, what did you try once? Well, I tried, you know, Lord, fill me up with your spirit, okay? I tried that, Pastor Matt. You know, didn't work. Sorry. Well, you really wanted it bad, didn't you? Because you asked one whole time, huh? And did you expect to get what you were asking for? And did you really obey what God was telling you to do in order for that to take place? Or what did you do that? You see, most of us, listen carefully, most Christians are so detached from the reality of God, they don't even know how to relate to God. We're so caught up in the world and everything around us that we do not even know how to relate to Him, nor do we care to most of the time. We're too busy for God. Got too much going on. Got too many other things going on to spend time asking, pleading, begging Him to fill me with His Spirit, to fill me with His life, because my life is so full of other junk, and there's the more I stuff in there, the bigger the black hole gets of emptiness and despair that I can't seem to fill. Man, you say, you're bummed. You need to get a grip, Pastor Matt. You need counseling. This is the issue of life. The hole that's inside, the despair, the emptiness that's inside, it will not, absolutely cannot be filled up any other way than His Spirit. And the emptier I am when I come into His presence, the better off I am, because I have then the opportunity to leave full of Him, not of something else, you see. To be full of the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. To be full of something else means to be controlled by something else. And that's exactly what's wrong with the world, isn't it? The world is full of it. And it's not God. And what controls you is what's filling you. This is why you want Him filling your life. Because if He is, then He's the one controlling. He's the one moving. And this is where the rub comes for everybody. If I'm full of the Spirit of God, then He's in control. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not going to work. That's not going to work for me. See, I've got my own plans and my own idea of how things should be going. And then God is at a standstill with you because He wants to fill you, but there's a problem. Desire, expectancy, obedience. Bring these three to the Lord today. You won't leave disappointed. If you don't, if you can't seem to get there, if you don't seem to want that, if you're not real sure that that's the avenue you want, you see, then you'll be where you're at. And for most of us, we don't really want to stay where we're at in terms of how things are going. But here's the thing. This is the point. I'm almost done, but just stay with me another minute. This is the reality. You don't want what you have, but yet that's exactly why you have it, because you want it. And we say we want something else, but we're not willing to really see that be accomplished in our life. Why? Because, folks, we have a determination within us that there's nothing There's nothing that we can do about the situation we're in. And there's nothing that I can do about the heart condition I have. There's nothing I can do about wanting stuff. You don't understand. I know I got an issue. I know I got a problem, but there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing I can do about this. There's nothing I can do about that. And we say, hey, you're talking about control. I'm not in control. I'm out of control. I don't have any control in my life. You see the paradox here. You're not in control, but you want to be. God is in control and wants to be in your life more than you're letting him. This thing goes round and round. It goes round and round in my mind, in my brain, in my heart, over and over again. Every day I come to the same place. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Take that stuff that I'm thinking and doing and playing around with and all the rest, take it out of me, empty me, dump that stuff out, get rid of it, and then fill me with your spirit. Lord, do that today. Every day, that's the process. Jesus said, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, keep coming. I know that it's important to me based upon how often and how much I'm asking and pursuing and digging and going. Do you follow me here? If you had something that was important to you that was just desperate in your life to have and to get, you would do whatever you need to every day to make that happen. Is the pursuit of God important or not? Because I need to say this. He will blow your mind if you want him to. He will change your life if you want him to. He will dump that junk in your life out on the floor and bury it if you want him to. And you will pour into other vessels around you if you want him to do that through you. And it's, people say, well, what are you saying? It's up to me? Yep. Ball's in your court. God says, here it is. Here's the deal. Here's the power. Here's the might. All my spiritual blessings, Paul says, have been poured out upon us. He just dumps them out. And we say, as we hold our umbrella, no, thank you. Gee, I wonder why the Lord isn't giving me anything. Hello? We used to say, get under the spout where the blessings come out. And don't take an umbrella. Don't get underneath there with an umbrella and say, gee whiz, Lord, why don't you pour out upon me, you know? Throw that thing away and let the Lord fill your life up. Let him do what he wants to do. But if you don't want it, then he won't do it. Is this another one of those sermons and messages where you tell us to quit living like we are? Because we're tired of those. We don't like to hear that anymore. Pastor Matt, why don't you give us a word of encouragement? Here's the thing. This is the most encouraging thing in the world. There is nothing more encouraging than being filled with the Spirit. And I'll tell you, the only thing you really need for this is a desire to have that happen and expect God to do it and be willing to obey what he says about it. And radical things will happen in your life. Beyond measure. The oil would just keep flowing and flowing and flowing. There's no limit to it. You know, you'll just be spiritually stretched out, you know. You just be huge spiritually. Awesome. Filled up. You know what it feels like to be full? We, most of us, like that feeling, by the way. We say we don't. Boy, I'm so full. I'm just stuffed. Yeah. That's what you were after. You know, I don't eat 2.5 burgers at a barbecue so I can feel empty. I'm pretty much after that fullness thing. And spiritually, that's the way it is. We go to this banquet of God, you see. We go to the Word where there's just food galore. We go and there's all kinds of spiritual wonder. And we, you know, go over and have a stalk of celery. You know, wonder why we're starving, you know. Man, grab a burger, you know, some potato salad or something. I'm getting hungry. Is it time to go? Because I'm getting hungry now. It's a banquet, God said. It's all the fullness you ever want. That hole inside you can be absolutely filled up. And I know it breaks the heart of the Father to watch his kids starving spiritually to death when he has put out a spread of living water and bread and all the good food that you could ever want. Spirit, it's all there. It's all there. It's just we're not eating it. How hard that is for him, I'm sure. When we pursue things that take us down and he says, oh, I could have filled you. I could have really blessed you there. That thing that left you so dead feeling, I could have given you life there. You would have felt abundance right then. And every day, all day, that's what he wants to do. Every day, all day. Let's pray. Father, we come even now, Lord, prayerfully with desire to be filled. And Lord, with expectancy to see you, Lord, do that which you can and only you can do. And Father, may we even right this moment in our hearts and our thinking, Lord, as things are coming into our minds, as things are, Lord, made aware to us, we would be, even now in the act of obedience, saying, Lord, take that. Deal with the other. Father, I confess this, and I pray that you would deal with it rightly. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit. Empty that out first. Lord, I desire this hole in my life to be filled up. Would you just fill me today? I know without measure you can pour into my life, and that's what I want. Father, I pray that that would be the heart of many today, that they would leave this place knowing that they can have a different day tomorrow than normal Mondays would bring, that they can have that fullness of joy and Father, be able to just walk with you because, Lord, you will draw near to us if we'll get rid of something that keeps us from drawing near to you. And perhaps, Lord, take on something that will draw us near to you. Ponder your word. Meditate upon it. Talk to you, Lord, and confess and bring about, Lord, spiritual reality in our life that you would love to pour out and pour in to our lives. Bless you for that. I pray that many would, Lord, take advantage in the best sense of the word, take advantage of your offer to pour in oil as much as we would like. May we like to have a lot. In Jesus' name, amen.